created that for us. And it's in my heart that there are so many that are just out there and don't know the Lord, don't even want to know the Lord. And I want as many people in heaven as to be there. So I'm asking that Lord God would even bring some to me, that they would see in me that she's got something there that I need. And that was a prophecy that was given to me a long time ago. They'll see you. They'll see the heart of the Lord in you. So I hope that happens. Thank you.
Our tithes and offerings, I just want to give a word of encouragement during this Christmas season. I've been really encouraged the last couple of times when I've been able to give or take up offering and tithes and offerings, and it's been really cool to see how God's been working in people's finances or in their situations. I think last weekend Pastor Mary and Pastor Jim shared about their furnace and the situation. You know, it wasn't just a done deal, but you know, it was a kind of a process that they kind of went through, thinking they were going to do one thing, and then God's like, you know what, I'm going to do this instead. And so how God was able to totally bless them. And then after our dinner last weekend for Zapata, you know, somebody else was sharing with me that they had the same situation with their furnace. You know, God just is doing wonderful things for us, and it's really cool when the word comes alive and yes, in our lives. And it just, again, it keeps coming back to Malachi 3:10-11, where God said he will open up the windows of heavens to bless our finances, and then he's going to rebuke the devourer. So where it could have been a situation where thousands and thousands of dollars could have gone into a new furnace, God changed it. You're like, nope, we're going to do this instead. And he fixes it and he breaks that devourer. So as we are obedient in our tithes and offerings, it's releasing him to do supernatural works in our finances. And I've really seen that even in my testimony with, you know, my house renovation and God blessing that. And then even this week, you know, without going into a really, really long story, God did it again, where I was, you know, last five some years, I was kind of expecting something. I was owed money. I don't know what the right word for that. Not thinking it was ever going to happen. And this week, God did it. He opened the doors and he released those finances to me. I kind of forgot about it. And he did it. And I believe it's for being faithful in tithes and offerings and just releasing that, knowing God can do that. And it's not, we're not talking about a couple $100s, we're talking about a couple $1,000s. God did that for me again this week. And so I'm just so thankful for him and blessing me. And I know he's going to do that for us too, where, you know, we were promised things, or, you know, we're believing God for things and not seeing it. But, you know, as we're faithful in our tithes and offerings, he's going to open up windows of heaven, pour out blessings, and he's going to, on the other part, rebuke the devourer from taking our things, our finances, our health, our situations. God's going to do that. And so as you're preparing your offering, I'm just going to bless it. And you can make out your checks to Community Church International, or you can even give online. Jared's got an app for that, and it's so cool. You can give here or you can give online. So if you have your tithes and offerings, I'll just ask you to raise it up. We're going to ask God to bless it. Lord, we give this to you, God, as you've spoken, Lord, that in Malachi 3:10, that as we're faithful in the little things, God, you're going to be faithful in the great things, Lord. As we give to you, God, you're going to open up windows of heaven, Lord. And our faithfulness, God, is releasing supernatural things, Lord, for you to come and move on our finances and move on our situations in our lives, or move on whatever might be on our hearts or maybe causing discouragement, Lord. We just know that you're going to do those things. You're going to take those things and you're going to move them, Lord. And Jesus, we pray to just bless everyone tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise and worship team. Hallelujah. Aren't they awesome? All of them. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for bringing in the presence this morning. Hallelujah. And I heard Sarah say, I don't know where this is going this morning, but it went right to the throne room. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we get a special treat. Hallelujah. Brother Jeff, come. Come on. Jeff's bringing the word today.
Well, good morning. How are you all doing? Good, good. Well, it's awesome to be in the presence of God. They did a phenomenal job. That was amazing. Well, what I want to talk to you about this morning is the body of Christ. It is something that has really been this last year, something that the Lord has put on my heart, and there's a lot to it. But this morning I want to focus on a few things. Because I believe the Lord's always taking us somewhere. Amen? I mean, the Lord is always bringing us from here to there because, you know what? We're designed to have that next thing in our life. We're designed in our DNA to always have that next adventure. You know? And so, we are going to be in Genesis 1. But, you know, when we think of the body of Christ, what do we think of? Anybody? When we think of it? Yes? You know, what I want to present is that, it is the universal church, but it also is Christ embodied. That is really a good, I believe, a description of the body. But you know, when we think about the body, you know, we have this word church. But then we have the original, which is ecclesia. Now, the definition of ecclesia is a group of citizens called out for a purpose. Right? So, when you think about it, so the embodiment is what? That group of citizens. So, one of the things we deal with when we're talking about the body is we deal with content and container. I'll say that one more. Content and container. So the container is the body of Christ, the embodiment, the citizens, right? So the container is what? Christ, the Holy Spirit. So there's three things I really want you to see and really remember, and we're going to go over them and over. It's really profound. And these three worms are formed, filled, and function. So say it with me. Say formed, filled, and function. Okay. So we're going to read a little bit out of Genesis. Actually, I need to get my spectacles on because I guess I'm getting old. Yeah, that's much better. We're going to read verse 1 through 5, I believe. Let me get through my notes. Oops. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So evening and morning were the first day. So now I want to jump over to verse 9. Then God said, let the water under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together all the water. He called the sea, and God saw that it was good. I'm going to jump over to 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So jump down to 21. Actually, we're going to go up to 20 and then 21. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of life, creation, living creatures. And let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created the great sea, creatures and every living thing that moved, with which the waters abounded according to their kind. So, then I want to jump down to 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So let's go to Genesis 2:7. And then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So, I got to take them off, man, when I look at you. Whoa, baby. I almost go down. So the reason why we're reading that is because before, think about, you know, if God, I don't know why we, God's got probably a deep voice. You know, God spoke. God saw, right? He created. But this is the first thing that God ever touched. When he created us in his image, what does it say? He took the dust of the earth. He started to form something in his likeness and in his image. It is the first thing that God ever touched when he created us. Formed man of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed in his nostrils. So God forms something, and then he breathes his breath of life into it. So God forms and fills, and then it has a function. God is always forming situations in our lives so he can fill us. Amen. So it's in our DNA that we need to have God fill us again. I guess I was sitting in the back, I really just started to see that, you know, sometimes I think as Christians, and I think in my own personal life, I wonder, well, if I, you know, I mean, why do I need God to touch me again? You know, man, if I was doing this and, you know, if I was serving God, if I was doing the right things, if I was, you know, then you know what? Would I really need God to come once again and give me a word? But you know what? As we look at this, this is how God, He formed us. He formed us for what? That He could touch us once again. That He could fill us once again. That once again, that thing that starts to seem new. It's that childlike faith. It's that thing that when you know, my kids are all grown. My baby's going to be 20. That's just crazy. I'm just like totally shocked. But that's why I love little kids. Because you know what? And they see you and they run. I mean, grandpa. I mean, they're just so excited to see you. And then my kids are like, "Hi, Dad, how are you? It's nice to see you." I want to go back to that kid, man. But they're just like, "Grandpa, Daddy." And that's how God wants. That's what God desires. He wants us to be in a place where we don't wait, but we run. We run into His presence. We are made to be filled, occupied by Him. We're made to be occupied by the presence of God. Exodus 34:6. Filled with the unfailing love. Psalms 81:10. I will fill, this is a little bit of a prayer phrase. I will fill your mouth with good things. Psalms 105:5. He filled my life. Psalms filled my hunger and He satisfies. When we are filled by God, aren't we satisfied? Man, it is just the best thing. You know, we don't really remember, but it's probably what a kid feels like, you know? I mean, they got no worries. Man, I don't get up in the morning and wonder, is my mom going to feed me? They're like, "Mom, get up, I'm hungry. You know, you need to feed me." Yeah. You know, and they don't wonder if you're going to wash their clothes. They have really, the only thing they're concerned about is what they're going to do all day and how you're going to entertain them. That's what their biggest concern is, you know? And kind of like us with God, really. Should be. You know, God, what do you do? You know, I love just being in the car with God because, I don't know, I'm a dreamer. Man, and I'll just do crazy stuff. But I know He just sits in there and you know, me and Him just talk. And we just do crazy things. And I mean, I have skits in my, I just have all this weird stuff. I have like this whole world in my head. It's a special one. So, what I want to really impress with you this morning is You know, we were formed, but we were made to be filled. But if we aren't filled, we cannot function. So many times we're going out there and we're struggling and we're just like, oh my God, why isn't this working? I mean, we're trying, we're doing all the things, but once again, we need to go back and we need to be filled. And that's not a thing, that's him and you. And you know, a lot of times it's what's so hard, it's in that broken state. It's in that state where we finally just give up and we're just like, God, I just can't do it anymore. I don't know what else to do. And then, just like he does every time, his presence comes into that room, it comes into that car, comes into your situation, and it's just like, that burden's gone. That thing's lifted. And my hopelessness starts to fade. It doesn't always just go away. It starts to fade, though. God's love is so amazing. And he wants us to run into his arms. He really wants us to... Well, let's just... I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So we've talked about it, but I really want to emphasize it, that we don't just want to be in the presence. We are designed to be touched by God once again. That's what he said, we rise early in the morning. Why? Because once again we come into his presence, and what? We find him. And we're touched. And then guess what? We're filled. We stepped into that. So I want to do something. Yeah, before I do that. So we're going to do a little something. So I'm going to have Jack come up. Me and Jack are going to have a conversation. And so we're going to kind of embody this whole thing. You sit over here. You sit right across from me. So me and Jack are just going to have a conversation like we always do. Are you nervous?
No.
Don't worry about it. I didn't think so.
Not a bit.
I love you, Jack.
Love you, too.
So, Jack, what's your favorite thing that I make? Well, you got to say it.
The peanut butter things that I've
Reese's
talked
peanut
about.
Butter cup,
yeah, those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you love them?
Because they taste good.
So did you know, Jack, that when I make those, you know, God formed everything, but when I make them, and I feel them, I actually, because I know you, because I love you, I actually, it says only a cup and a half of peanut butter. But I put 2 cups of peanut butter in there, Jack, just because I know how much you love peanut butter. Man, it is. I mean, your dad too. I mean, your dad loves peanut butter. But I mean, I know how much you love it, and that's why I do it. And then I know how much your mother loves chocolate chips, because I made chocolate chip cookies before, and she's like, Jeff, you need to use the whole bag. So I always use a lot of chocolate chips in the topping. And so, are you excited? Because, do you think I made you something?
Well, did you or did you not?
Well, would you be excited if I did make you something?
Yeah, probably.
Would you?
Yeah.
Like how excited?
Like,
yeah. Really excited? Usually he jumps up and down. He's like, Uncle, you didn't. You didn't.
You really made him. You really did it.
I really did it.
You really did it.
Just for you, Jack.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
What a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, and they should be pretty cold, so you can
eat them. Yeah, I'm going to start eating pretty soon.
I know you are. That's it, Jeff.
Wow.
And I made another pan, so we'll put them back there if somebody else wants one, too. They're like the bomb. I guess the idea is that, you know, God knows us. He knows what we like. He knows us intimately. Because he didn't just know us, he created us. You know, he formed us. He filled us. And I want to talk about the function more, but that's not what the Lord wants to do this morning. What the Lord wants me to do is he wanted me to share something with you. When we had Leif, is that how you pronounce it? Leif here. You know, there was something, Leif carries something that's different, you know. And it was a little shocking, you know, at times. But as I was studying, the Lord just really started to show me that, you know, when he was praying for people, he looked at you, right? And his eyes got really big, like that. But what was he looking for? What was he looking for? And then I saw it in Scripture. It said, but put them glasses back on. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And down in 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. So when you have an image, what is there always? A reflection. So what he was doing is, as the Lord was speaking to me, he was looking in, and what happened was he connected, because when I watched him, because I was like right there. I was behind because I was catching people, and he would be like, Papa. What he saw was God. He saw the image of God in you. He saw the thing that formed you. The thing that was there in the beginning when God was, he knew you where? In your mother's womb. He saw that create, he saw that thing, he looked in you. And what happened was when he saw him, you experienced that once again. You experienced not just the forming, but the feeling. God's always trying to bring us back to that simple thing. That's really been a year. It's just, you know, sometimes we make this so difficult. We just make it so hard on ourselves. And he just wants to fill us again. He just wants to fill us again. It's not wrong. It's right. And you know, guys, you're amazing. Did you know how amazing every one of you are? But do we believe it? But I tell you what, when we allow him to fill us, it don't matter what other people think. It don't matter what anything else is going on in our lives, and circumstances might look like this or that. But guess what? When he fills us, man, then guess what? Then we can function. Amen. Amen. Because that looks what ecclesia is. A group of citizens called out for what? A purpose. But unless we're embodied, unless we have the embodiment of Christ, we're only functioning on that which we can give. Because we can only give what we have. Amen? So, what I believe the Holy Spirit really wants to convey to us this morning is not that we lack. He just wants you back. Did you get that? It's not what we lack. It's not what we're doing wrong. It's not these things that we should be doing. We should be going here. But he just wants you back. He just wants that. He just wants you in the morning. He wants you in the afternoon. He wants you just when you come and you're just like, you know, Lord, thank you. If the one thing I've learned in the last 18 years of raising these girls and half insane is being thankful. I mean, I stood in the back of this church here, and I'll tell you what, I wasn't thankful about anything. There was so much hatred. There was so much anger in my life. I mean, I just was like felt like a walking dead man. And I stand back there, but I just knew one thing. I had one thing left in me that I knew. I said, I know I need to be thankful. And I kept saying it. And I said, when it would come up in me and this rage would come up, I said, Lord, I'm thankful. God, I'm thankful. But there wasn't anything in me that was thankful. There was not a stitch. But I said, Lord, I'm thankful. God, I'm thankful. Jesus, I'm thankful. And then I don't know what happened. But God happened. He started to fill me once again. And all that stuff started to get rooted out. And he started to fill it with joy. And he started to fill it with peace. And my circumstances didn't make any sense. My circumstances still looked like I was in a whirlwind. But in here, I was starting to find thankfulness. I was starting to find hope once again. I was starting to say, you know, Lord, I believe that you got a call of God on my life. I believe that if you fill me, God, that nothing can stop the call of God in my life. Because God, it's not about me, it's about you. Empty me of everything, Lord, that's not of you. Wow, sometimes I wish you wouldn't have said that, because that's this hard thing. You know, in Acts, let's go to Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. Then the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Filled with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Forgive me. And it goes on to talk about they were in Jerusalem, day of Pentecost. But then Peter, in verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my word, for those are not drunk as you suppose, since this is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. My sons and daughters shall prophesy, for the young men shall be shall see visions. The old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And they shall come to pass. So what happened? They were filled. And because the apostles were all in accord together, ecclesia, the citizens, the group, right? What happened? They were filled by the Spirit. And then they had their function. I really believe what the Lord is going to do this morning. And I believe what he's doing when Laith was here is renewing once again that childlike faith, that infilling, to remember that we are formed not just from anything, but in the image of God. What does that mean? I don't know. But I'm loving to find out. I know God's about to do some miraculous things in your life. I'm telling you, when you seek God, God is about to reveal what that means. Laith brought something here. He deposited something. He deposited that once again we will go back to that beginning where we were formed and filled. Formed and filled. When he brought you to the position, the place of salvation, and then he filled you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every other name, God, Father, we release your word this morning. Father, it is a living, it is the embodiment of your Son, God. And Father, I pray, Father, you would, Father, speak to us in visions and dreams. But Father, once again, I pray, Father, you would take us back to that place, God, where we were formed and filled. Father, where we were formed and we were filled. And once again, Lord, we are ready to function. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would loose. Father, you would loose your presence right now. And Father, I take authority over every thought that comes against the knowledge of God. Right now, Father, every lie the enemy has placed in our minds, every thought process that keeps us from getting to you, God, to getting back to where we were formed and filled, God. Father, I bind that in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Father, that you would erode that thing. Father, that you would remove that from our vision. Father, that we would have eyes to see, God, you once again. As little children, Father, once again, God, that we would see you, God. That it would not be a formality, but Lord, it would be like a child running to his father. I'm telling you, something's shifting. They brought something here. and I don't want to miss it. Lord, I just release this week, God, that you would infill us. Father, not once again and again, and Father, we'd have that next and that new discovery after new discovery, but this would be the year in 2020 where we could say of our lives that I have never had so many experiences with God. I've never had so many firsts with God. Father, I pray that this in 2020 would be the year of the firsts. The year of the new God. The first fruits, O Lord. Wow. Father, I just thank you that this is the year, God, that not only will we fail, Lord, we will start to function. Father, I just release miracle signs and wonders like never before. Father, in your presence, Father, your hand is not short, O God. Father, whatever is in the desire of the hearts of your people, God, I pray, Father, that Lord, not only would you meet them, God, but you would fill them and release them, Father. I'm telling you, things that have seemed really hard, seems just like it's not going anywhere. I'm telling you, this 2020 is the year of promise. It's not just one more time of an infilling, but it's an infilling, but it's like I keep seeing the breath and I keep seeing this thing going out of you. I keep seeing this thing not just like flowing out of you like with some vapors, but I literally see like the wave and the breath of God literally just flowing out and into the world. And Father, we thank you, God, that you're the God of the next. We thank you, God, that you're the God that never stops pursuing. And I pray today, God, that you would give us the revelation that, Lord, of the forming and the filling so that we can function, Lord. Father, we thank you for these things. We thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a couple announcements. Be watching on the app and Facebook for information for New Year's Eve. Okay, because that's just around the corner. Christmas next week. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how fast this year's gone. And we're blessed. And we get to declare he is King. Holy. Holy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. This week, remember everything that God has done for us in this past year. Also, be praying for Mary and Jim as they leave on Friday for Zapata. Okay? That they'll have safe driving weather. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day, that this is a day that you've made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Go with peace. Amen.